You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to what I do believe is a live on YouTube version of Bison Report Radio. This is your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, joining me, number three in your program, number one in your heart, Trevor Gebhardt. Trevor, how are you, Doug?
I'm doing well, my friend. It's marker week, so this is always one of the best weeks of the year in the fall.
All right, so our understanding is that we're live on YouTube, and so if you want to pop in and comment or ask us a question, Trevor and I always have kind of like a rough outline or a script of who would or what we would be talking about, who we'd be talking about, stuff like that. So we'll kind of get to that. But if you do have a question, drop it in the chat, and we'll interrupt ourselves. We'll get to it as soon as we're kind of able to do so, or as soon as it makes sense kind of in what we're doing. And I'll keep an eye on that on our account here, Trev. I'll make sure that we're paying attention to what we're doing.
Keep me in the loop on the YouTube interactions. I'm working off my phone here, so
sure.
Yeah, ping me. We open the gates though for the benchwarmer guys and the other BR guys to interact with here, so that just puts the nerves on edge a little bit with those guys.
Yeah, it's okay. No, I mean, I'm excited about it. Yeah. It's new, and obviously, our assumption this is a brand new thing, kind of an unplanned thing. I sort of sprung this on Trevor. Is look, most of you guys are getting this via the normal way. You've downloaded it. You're listening to it on your phone. So this YouTube nonsense is probably a little much for you. But just know that this was on YouTube. If you're listening to this on normal podcast form, we're trying this out. We're checking it out. And I thought maybe the game before marker week would be the one to test it out. What do you think, Trev?
Yeah. I mean, it adds a new element to some of the things that we do. We'll see how it works out. And if it obviously goes well, we'll continue. That's of course, if we are in fact live on YouTube. So maybe someone can actually tell us.
We are. We got three people watching right now.
And let's go. And
we just popped on here, but I can confirm that this is a functioning live broadcast, but let's pop into the news, especially, like for those, for our hundreds of normal listeners that are just getting this on their phones like normal, let's actually do a podcast. Into the news, will Mo start done for the season? Anytime you kind of see the mechanism of what happened to him, where a guy jumps up really excited and then just crumples like that, non-contact, it's Achilles, and that everything looked like Achilles, and it was Achilles. So he'll be done for the season. Aaron Rodgers alien abduction magic surgery coming for Will. That's a blow. Certainly that's a blow. Eli, certainly the more, I guess, well-known Mostert brother, but Will brings it too, man. And he's a key guy. And it seems like if NDSU's not losing a key guy right before having to play at South Dakota State, it's just unfortunate. But I guess those are excuses, and everybody has those. Good news. Sam Young's targeting call rescinded. Thought that was absolutely just a bananas call, as did many. So he'll be eligible to play and probably starting right there in that strong safety spot against the Rabbits. So They did get a little bit of good news midweek. I like absolutely thought that that was insane. from
targeting call has to change. That rule's got to change. Everyone's talked about it. Not only in and around the circle of North Dakota State and in regards to Sam's hit, it's just been talked about for years. It's no different than the flagrant foul in basketball. It can be done. It needs to be done. And the sooner the better, because it's ruining the flow of games and kids is, I don't want to say it's ruining kids' careers, but it's ruining the opportunities that they have. It's just not quite frankly productive.
So, okay. And like, I don't want to, get into like a soapbox situation, or I don't really want to dive like too incredibly deep into this, but I think it's a simple fix. You just make the disqualification part of it objective. And yes, people will still disagree with that, but the automatic aspect of it is the problem, in my opinion, where it's like, okay, this is targeting. What was the intent? How bad was it? However you may or may not get into that aspect of it, but make it at least a judgment call, because now the situation is you either don't call it or you disqualify the kid. There's no medium, like,
yeah,
no 15 yards at all, or you're out. And if it's the second half, you also miss the first half of the next game. And that's where I have the problem, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, cause sometimes let's just say even if it's halfway, with malice intent, malicious intent, however you want to frame up the term to identify that call. Let's just say even in the spur of the moment, the second half of a game that it occurs, their tempers are cooled down by the next game. Theoretically, you would hope so. So it's not going to necessarily translate into the next week. So yeah, the fact that it even bleeds into the next week is, just not, again, like I already said, it's not productive, I don't think, for the sport. It needs to get revisited.
All right. Let's not get too deep into that.
Yeah.
And so into the news, JP, Jaden Price ties Richard Lewis. I was a Richard Lewis guy, man. Like, that's my vintage of when I really grew up and fell in love with football and started to learn about football and, you know, really started to be a diehard, if you will. You want to talk about like Kevin Feeney, and then just a little bit after that, Lamar Gordon, Richard Lewis, Andrew LeClaire, Chuck Labo. That was like my squad. Yo, we got our first question. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. But we do have our first question. Gotta love right that. We'll kick off the SDSU recap part. We've got to go over, or the SDSU preview part with that. We've got the Murray State recap to dive into here. So JP tying Richard Lewis's career record with his fourth career punt return. Very cool, and I think we'll get a chance to see if Jaden can't break that. He's been very, very close a number of times. For three games left on the schedule, and you know, potential playoff run as well. We'll see if JP can't get a shot at that. Then once again, Logan Kopp, who I think is just absolutely hurtling towards an All-America selection, is the MVFC Defensive Player of the Week again. All right, Trev, let's dive into the Murray State recap. Big win, but kind of a choppy game. I wrote in the script, I think this was a little bit less sexy, if you will, than the Western Illinois win. I didn't get and I know Murray's probably a better club than Western. That's not lost on me. But at the same time, I just didn't think NDSU's execution was quite at the same level as it was against Western.
No, front to back, especially for all four quarters. And I admittedly didn't watch the entire game. I mean, especially when they jumped out to a 21-0 lead. I mean,
that part was clean.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was very encouraging to see that the guys came out with their hair on fire, which is obviously something that hasn't necessarily been consistent every single week. So that was encouraging to know that that's happening back-to-back weeks. Now, the little that I did tune in after that point, little choppy, no, just not clean football. Yeah. I would say you'd walk away and say, okay, this was a clean game. So yeah, that's just something that they're going to have to put together, especially as they move along the season here in the stretch of November, which is obviously the most important part of the season. So yeah, by and large, good win. I believe covered the spread. Was it 31.5? Is that correct?
It got real close.
Did it? Okay. I don't know what it was. Yeah. So I'm sure there's
entertainment purposes only.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, more or less still a 38-6 win, which is good to see. Murray State, a little bit more talented maybe than Western, so they weren't going to win by 50-plus. But, yeah, you would like to see it front to back all four quarters versus just, you know, the first 10 minutes of the game.
And, look, I'll say this, right? When you are up 21-0 with 3 minutes left in the first quarter and you're pacing for 84-0,
yeah,
I do understand how you can kind of let stuff slide. And you shouldn't, right? I mean, that's not the standard. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But at the same time, it's understandable how it happens that stuff is allowed to slide a little bit. And I think that happens, but we're not going to belabor the point, I guess. We're not going
to. Yeah, no, because sometimes when you get in those moments, like, and you jump out to that big of a lead, I've certainly been a part of these in my time at NDSU and even in high school. I was a few part of those. It's one of those things where everyone gets the feeling of like, why are we even here? Like, how is this again productive? I guess that's the theme of this pod. How can we make this productive? But you're going to have that feeling, not just on the NDSU sideline, but the other sideline. So when they're not even trying to fight, it's like, what are we doing here? So I'm sure there's a little bit of that going on. All good. You'd have liked to, again, see maybe a little bit more gumption throughout the rest of the game, especially as this team's trying to build more depth. So,
big time comeback game for Braylon Henderson. That one was interesting. You know, they've really done a good job of getting kind of receivers in that body type or in that spot going in the sense that, like, Eli Green has had a phenomenal season. Rajah Nelson has been utilized in a number of different ways. And that's kind of that F position, that slot receiver position where, that's odd. Braylon's been here a long time. I wonder if there wasn't a health issue. You look at, like, his snap count from Eastern Washington was super limited. Right after that game, his snap count was super limited. Like, the non-conference, they just didn't use him that much. Mm-hmm. And then he was full go awesome against Murray State. And even was the second punt returner back there when they did the punt safe two with JP and Braylon back there. He looked like Braylon Henderson to me. And that, I think, as much as, you know, you want the outside receivers and Lippy's doing a fine job. And obviously Mathis, I think, is probably still their leading receiver. And that stuff's great on the outside, but getting multiple guys so you can run maybe 3x1 or 2x2, run some 10 personnel stuff to get Braylon going is exciting when you've already got Eli Green and Rajah kind of already going.
Well, no doubt. I mean, he exploded early in the game. I think he only ended up with a handful of catches, but he just stood out to you by the amount of space that he was creating. And when he got in the space, he was doing something with the rock. And the reason that's so effective is because of the way Cam has been playing. If that connection continues, now you're adding to that arsenal that defenses have to game plan for because you put that good tape out there and it changes the scheme, you know, for a defense to go and attack you. So that was encouraging that more guys are getting in space and creating plays. Have been waiting on Braylon for quite a while, and, you know, clearly he was able to do that on Saturday. So, yes, very encouraging, no doubt.
And so that, like I said, is kind of one of the things where I wonder, was he hurt? Was he not injured? Was he hurt? You know, you never know. You never know. And I didn't ask the question, but it's like, boy, you know, he really showed out against Murray State in a way that we just haven't seen this season. He looked healthy, looked good, looked like Braylon Henderson. And that's a big thing when you are really running kind of a quarterback driven offense. And I'm not dumping on the backs, but like T Mac and Barika and TK have just been good, not awesome, great, you know, and a lot of that is there's read option stuff where the defense is collapsing on the running back and making the quarterback run. And that's why you get another six attempts here from Cam and in kind of a game that was decided early. And this one was decided early. That Cam was sort of okay. And you can definitely, you know, kind of see the bar that Cam has set when he goes 18 to 24 for 75% completion, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And we're like, yeah, it was fine. it was okay. And so that, but I just didn't get like the wow, certainly not the wow, you know, that we got from Cam against Western or even, you know, 2 weeks prior to that against, road game, Missouri State, maybe. I'm trying to think
Missouri State was on the road.
Sure. And I think that was the game where he really, really wowed me with some of his stuff down the field and some of the stuff he was able to do, getting, you know, the Grand Forks stuff was not great, but, still, I mean, he made some good throws in Grand Forks too. So,
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely played his best football this season overall. Yes. When you look at his career overall, I do think this game, I mean, 75% completion percentage. It's crazy. He's been hovering at that and beyond for this entire season. But I think, again, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the pod about, okay, he had two rushing touchdowns right away, and we were thinking this is going to be a UND 5-touchdown, 6-touchdown scamper type of game that he had last year. You know, it seemed like it was trending in that direction. So it's like, is there a little bit of that, like, what are we doing here type mentality the rest of the game? Yep. You know, there could be an element of that. And also, is it, okay, hey, we got the Jacks next. I'm already moved on in the middle of this game, which I don't care what anyone says. There's going to be an element of that when you know that this game is over. So,
And this one was over quick. This was, over 3 minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah. So, you know, Cam ended up with, you know, another 55 yards rushing. On top of that, overall, pretty productive day. When you take a look at his season that he's played overall, yeah, you'd be expecting him to throw for about 250 and rush for 80. So I'd say he was at about 75% of what maybe we have been used to seeing him at. Yeah. And, you know, of course, obviously this week it's going to have to be at 100 and 100 plus. So,
yeah.
And I know he's expecting that out of himself as well.
Yeah, I think we've been seeing A or A plus work, and we got a B, and it was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Still a B. Carson Williams, my goodness. You know, I think they're probably very hopeful to get Joe Stuffel back against SDSU, but played without him and really got the young guys in at tight end. And, man, Carson Williams, Buffalo transfer. Played at Buffalo, and Zach and I talked about this a little bit, but played at Buffalo as a true freshman, which is impressive. Mm-hmm. Played at a MAC school as a true freshman, and then comes to NDSU, and really, I mean, they talked about, and what Zach and I talked about, what you have to know the fullback spot if you're going to play tight end.
Yep.
You have to know the H-back spot if you play tight end. You have to know a little bit of F if you play tight end in that slot receiver spot, and you have to know the Y stuff. So, you have to know about as much, plus, as Zach pointed out, you have to understand what the offensive line is doing, and you have to understand trade, shift, and motion.
You have to understand the concept. I think I heard Zach talk about this, too. You have to understand the conceptually how everything shifts and changes with the motions and shifts that NDSU does.
Right.
So every time you slide to a different side of the field, motion in a different spot, maybe you get flexed out at some point, you got to understand how that changes your route concepts, which – in of itself can be a foreign concept if you never learned that prior to coming to NDSU.
So there is just an insane amount of volume you need to take in as a tight end from a playbook perspective, from a reps perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so seldom that you see a true freshman, never, but even a redshirt freshman really go get them at NDSU at the tight end position. It just is. It's very, very rare. Defensively, 12 missed tackles, not where you want to be, especially against a club like Murray State, but it's not tragic. I would say if they have less than 12 missed tackles against South Dakota State, they're going to be in that game.
Yeah. You cannot have more than 10 missed tackles against a South Dakota State that have some of the best running backs in the country. I mean, that 1-2 punch that they have of Isaiah Davis and Mark Johnson, I believe that's his name.
Yep.
They're just studs, man. There's no other way to put it. So you have got to shore up tackles, limit the yak yards, make sure that they don't get loose on you, because if you do, it could be a long day at the office defensively.
100%. No, 100%. Little Jalen Crumbie, which I thought was fun. You know, Owen Johnson, who we liked, getting injured. And then I saw, obviously, not Owen Johnson in number 4. Turns out they're sharing that number this year, and he got a little bit of work, which was super fun to watch. And you know, we've been talking all year about not putting Oscar Benson and Julian Wodarczyk in tough positions against slot receivers. You know, Missouri State had a Raylan Sharp, who's a really good slot. You know, UND didn't, because they ran it down NDSU's throat, didn't need to use their stud slot receiver. But everyone obviously knows what Carter Bell did to the Bison. You get Yankee twins. You got all sorts of stuff, you know, that SDSU can throw at you. You might want to have a actual nickel, you know, or an actual 5 defensive back set to throw at these rabbits if they're gonna stretch you out. Now, you can't stop the run. It isn't gonna matter, because then SDSU is not gonna stretch you out. But it was fun to see Crumbie Jacquees Alexander got 33 snaps. It was fun to see some options other than just Wiz, Young, Shepard, and JP.
Well, it comes down to building depth. I mean, I'm pretty sure some of this was by design, no doubt, just given, you know, where the season has slowed and some of the comments that Coach Entz has made in press conferences. But, like, the depth is so, so needed for a playoff run. I mean, it's paramount. You don't have depth, you're going to run out of juice. I mean, we saw that last year. Like, NDSU limped into Frisco, and it was just because guys had been dropping like flies. Injuries were just rampant. So being able to get these guys into a type of game where they can get those quality reps and perform well, it's only going to build confidence into games like a South Dakota State, where, you know, if they do take some lumps, they're going to be able to learn from it, which will be necessary again for the playoffs. Now, how often they're going to play this week, it'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how they perform in a bigger environment. Sometimes guys step up and they show out and you're like, okay, this is another dude. And it'll be fun to see who, if any, will be identified in that type of environment.
Sure. A couple quick things on the defensive line. I thought Logan Larson played really well, which is going to be important moving forward with no Will Moe start. He's a talented young kid, man. You talk about a dude that had an offer from any school he wanted to in this area and chose North Dakota State. Logan was good. And Dylan Hendricks, you know, everybody knows his story, got an accident, had the neck issue, still wears that cowboy collar, but has really and also transitioned from the defensive or from the linebacker position to the defensive line position. And he's just been good, just been purely good. I mean, he is by any number and just by my eyeballs, I mean, he right now is their best pass rusher. And I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing in the sense that you would love to have. He's been very good, but he's not at Braden Thomas's level. He's not at Kyle Emanuel's level. He's not at Greg Menard's level. He's not at Tuska's level right now. And I think that's why, to be successful, NDSU has had to bring some pressure, bring some stunts, do things of that nature. But that's Dylan Hendricks was never asked to be the best pass rusher on the team, and I've just been impressed with him.
I mean, yeah, there's no doubt, especially, again, I keep referencing the playoff runs here, but you're going to have to get pressure on the quarterback and create guys and put them in situations that they are very uncomfortable in. And he has got to stay on that train for this thing to go, no doubt, because that's one thing in the past that NDSU teams that have been very, very successful and dominant have had dominant defensive lines. You look at any level of football in general, championship teams have that. So the play of 95 is going to be very, very important in order for those things and the wins to stack up and for, you know, December to keep having games on the schedule.
This episode of Bison Report Radio and this brand spanking new YouTube stream is brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. Right on the I-29 frontage road, they have a phenomenal service department and, as always, a tremendous selection of both new and used vehicles. Go see my buddy John Cole. Go see my buddy Brad Sather. There are just princes over there at Gateway Chevrolet. Easy to get to, get in and out. You'll be greeted every single time by a very, very professional and friendly salesperson. Buy all my vehicles there. We'll continue to do so, whether or not they continue this sponsorship, I promise you. But go see the people at Gateway Chevrolet or check out their inventory at gatewayfargo.com. Okay, Trev, I want your wide scope take on how did this happen. And when I say how did this happen, I mean, why? Why are South Dakota State the defending national champions? And why are they 11.5-point underdogs for absolutely the, or excuse me, 11.5-point favorites for absolutely the first time ever? I guarantee it, as double-digit favorites over NDSU. How has this taken place, Mr. South Dakota boy?
First of all, this hurts my soul that I even have to answer this question and be factual.
You don't have to tell me.
I know. Everybody knows that. That's not a secret. That's fine. And you know what? I mean, South Dakota State, that program has done a phenomenal job of modeling themselves after what NDSU has done. That's not to give NDSU a pat on the back. That's just calling a spade a spade. And they have done so well to the point where they have surpassed where NDSU is at. That's just reality.
And I will say, too, I don't mean to cut you off, but I will just say it has been a long time. And you talk about hurting to say stuff. I know that the playoff failures are stuff we poke fun at, and mm-hmm. you know, them losing to Sam Houston State in the fake spring season, and then, you know, ultimately their second trip to but I actually think they've been the second best program in FCS football for 5 or 6 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Despite getting to Frisco twice, I think it's been that long where they've been the second best program.
Well, they've gotten, I think, the short end of the stick overall with some playoff draws a little bit with being matched up in Fargo at times where NDSU was just going to win anyway.
Yeah.
So they could have had more Frisco trips and we could have made fun of them about beating them in Frisco.
But they have lost to teams in the playoffs that aren't NDSU.
They have. Yeah. You know, the JMU year where, you know, Taron Christian had Montana 10 turnovers, State. Whatever it is, Montana State, when they just kind of ran out of juice. And that was probably more so because they had the Hail Mary in Vermilion, which just put them on the road for the entire playoffs. So there's a lot of factors that just quite frankly, haven't gone their way, right, wrong or indifferent. You still got to play the game. You still got to win them. There's a number of different reasons. Number one, I think they've done a phenomenal job with the COVID transition and keeping guys and being able to take advantage of the extra year. They have done, there should be a case study in Brookings and how that happened.
Talk about it, or I'm going to talk about it.
I actually see it on the script. And, but the other thing is too, is I think this isn't an excuse. This is just calling a reality. COVID hurt NDSU disproportionately more than other programs. This is not an excuse. This is just saying what happened. The guys that were lost in the 2020 season that would have been in the fall in Fargo, that quite frankly was primed to be the best NDSU team ever. And I don't know if it would have been particularly close had they stayed healthy and all things were equal. And that's just the truth. That team was loaded. And that was the same team that dominated 2019 that went undefeated. It would have been the exact same guys.
Oh, 2020 would have been an all-time good FCS program.
It would have been it would have been the most fun fall that we'd have ever had.
People like would have 15 gotten pros on that team.
Oh, I know. And so, like, you know, people can call us homers, whatever. And it's like, guys, NDSU has had, I don't even know if it's arguably, I think it is the greatest run ever in college football history. That's not a secret. And we were just calling it how we see it. And it's no different now. Like, South Dakota State is the best program and is the premier of FCS. And right now they're the most dominant. And so, like, we're just calling it how we see it. We just happen to be the guys covering our own program that we know and love. And that's why, you know, people get nauseated with it, which is fine, whatever. And that's beside the point. But SDSU got here, one, because they modeled their program after the standard and they've done a phenomenal job in mimicking it and then going and executing it. They did a great job navigating the COVID situation. And then now with this whole NIL thing and the whole landscape of college football being an entirely new stratosphere, they've also done a good job with that. So you have to give credit where credit's due. They've got phenomenal kids and players in that program that are doing things that I very much see in myself and the guys that I was fortunate enough to experience the things that we did in Fargo. So,
and I'll just put that to bed. I want to put this to bed. Okay. These are the pros that would have walked away with a 2020 FCS championship, walked away with it.
Yeah.
Trey Lance, pro. Hunter Lipke, pro. I think Jalen Sundell will be a pro, but I won't count him now. Christian Watson, pro. Just working myself. Nash Jensen, pro. Cody Mock, pro. That's 5. Josh Babbitt's pro. That's 6. Noah Gindorf, pro. That's 7. Spencer Wagey, pro. That's 8. Josh Hayes, pro. That's 9.
Gosh.
Jabril Cox, pro. That's 10. And actually, Jabril announced his intention to leave earlier. So, we'll go back down to 9. Cordell Volson, pro. That is 10.
Yeah.
And Ben Ellison, pro. That's 11. Derek Tuska, pro. That's 12. 12 NFL players. 13 if Jabril Cox would have stayed, 12 NFL players on an FCS roster. 2022 Rabbits don't have that.
First of all, one of the teams in that argument of the best team ever was one that I played on in 2013.
You're like, God,
we did not have that. Yeah. Okay, I love the guys that I played with. I know what that team had. That team was dudes, and we had a cohesiveness that is – that I'll say, I'll be honest with you. This South Dakota State team is phenomenal. They're definitely up there in like great team conversations. They're not 2013 NDSU either.
Yeah.
And 2013 did not have what 2020 would have had. Huh? Yeah.
I said, yeah, and they would have gotten cracked by 2020 NDSU.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this
so
is...
That's fine, but that's beside the point. We got way off topic. We're just trying to pat ourselves on the back a little bit.
Yeah, trying to
but good. Like, you know, this, what could have been, you know, this.
Good I went right over Rado 13 NFL.
Oh
guys.
My God.
I miss Raidens, who was literally like starting for the Titans. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. So let's have the age discussion. I just went on gojacks.com and I still can't even believe what I'm looking at. They have 34 guys with a senior designation.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot. So,
whether it's a true senior in year four, whether it's a normal redshirt senior in year five, or it's a super senior in year six, and a great player. I'm not talking any junk about him whatsoever, but Garrett Greenfield, four game ruled in 2018. Trev, what were you even doing in 2018?
Me, I had just moved to Charlotte. Like, I mean, I've been here 6 years. So like,
I have two children that weren't alive.
No, we got pregnant with Everly in 2018. My wife did.
And she's like a full-grown human now.
Yeah, she's 4 and a half, and she is like way too smart. Dude, she is a stud. I tell you what, she's
anyway,
special.
My point is like, Greenfield played in three games in 2018, and I get there are six-year guys on the Bison. I do. I mean, I'm not, but it is not like what it's like at South Dakota State. And I would say the same thing. And so I think there's a couple things. First of all, NDSU got beat up in the portal. And this is going to make me sound arrogant, whatever. North Dakota State football during that time period was just a higher profile product. Okay. And I'm not saying that NDSU definitely had better players, whatever. I don't need to get into this conversation, but it was a higher profile. Okay. And that's, you start getting the tampering stuff that does go on. It's how you lose a Jabril Cox. Okay. It's how you lose a Josh Hayes. It's how you lose a Marquise Siegel. And then you even go down the line and it's how you lose a Kobe Johnson, how you lose a Dom Jones, and how you know, I could go on and on and on. And for whatever reason, and this actually kind of applies to UND as well. But I tell you what, man, it just didn't happen in Brookings. It didn't happen at Grand Forks either, but it didn't happen in Brookings. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, we hear 6-figure offers for Tucker Kraft that he didn't take. All credit. I'm not complaining. Okay. But it's the reality of the situation. Those guys all stayed. They all stayed. And a lot of them took extra years of eligibility. Like the Yonke twins were listed on like NFL prospect lists. Said, now we're going to come back, try win one more.
Yeah. And that's why I say it needs to be a case study. They are an anomaly, dude. They did this way better than everybody. And they're reaping the benefits of it right now. That's just what it is.
Don't go in the portal and take your extra years of eligibility, please. And everyone said, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
They bought in. They bought into whatever they were, you know, trying to accomplish. And of course, that's a national title.
Yep.
I think they have made that well known that that's what they are aspiring to do and be. And they have done that. And that's where they're at. And those guys wanted another taste of it. And I know from experience, it does taste pretty dang good when you get that. And so they wanted some more. And so they came back.
And so I'll be interested to see, you know, kind of, and this is, of course, in a world in which NDSU and SDSU both stay FCS, and I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how likely I think that is. Whatever. I don't know. But in a world that they both stay at the same level, after now NDSU's built this indoor practice facility, and I want to know what like 2025 looks like, where there's no more COVID kids. There's no more 60-year seniors. We're just past that point. NDSU's maybe had an ability to adjust how they handle the portal a little bit. And SDSU's maybe had what comes with winning national championships, which is, okay, maybe I want to tamper with your, maybe we send, you know, Isaiah Davis a few more notes, or maybe we right. check in on Griffin Wilde. That's the kid, the Griffin Wilde, the true freshman kid.
Yeah. So
maybe if I'm Iowa, I'd keep my head in. And he'll probably stay because he's Sioux Falls kid, whatever. I'm not, but what I'm saying is like, okay, now you're high profile. Now you have Power Five programs sticking their nose in there a little bit more.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and Amar Johnson, it's like, hey, he's shifty. Hey. He's dynamic. Yeah. We're down a running back. We need to get somebody in. He fits what we're trying to accomplish in our offense. No doubt. It just creates more eyes in your program. Yeah. So yeah, as this thing develops and as they continue to progress as a program and stack wins and create a brand, they might see more of that. You know, so yeah, it will be interesting to see how this thing plays out 2-3 years down the road for sure.
All right, let's take the two questions we got. How do the Bison slow down the run game, and how do the linebackers handle the RPO game? I mean, I think that's going to be, because the next thing we said is, do you stop Gronowski and the Yonke twins and Wilde, or do you stop Isaiah Davis and Mark Johnson? I think you have to stop the run.
Yeah, no doubt.
Not that you want to let Gronowski throw it all over you, but South Dakota State has shown, man, if you don't stop the run, they will just run. I mean, that's how they lost the game against UND. Tommy Schuster didn't do anything. Truly, Tommy Schuster's not the reason they won that game. Bo Belquist isn't the reason they won that game. You have to stop the run. I think they've got to get out of their comfort zone a little bit. I think if you're going to play Cole Wisniewski and Sam Young 12 yards off the ball and split safeties, especially if SDSU is going to go a bunch of, you know, 11 personnel where it's just Hines in there at tight end, and they've got, you know, Wilde out there, and they've got both Yonke twins out there, and they're spreading you out and making you play a 6-man box, making you play a 5-man box. Mm-hmm. It just ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You're going to be outnumbered. You're going to be out leveraged. And that's what I think. You know, they've got to probably play a little bit more one high stuff than they're comfortable with. Maybe play some cover zero, bring some pressures. But I think if they're going to sit there and cover two and cover four, no matter how hard Young and Wiz can come down and fit, I don't see it. And so that's how I would approach it. I would bring Wiz down there and maybe play some nickel. That's our next question from Jason Adam, watching from Huntsville. Thank you, Huntsville, Alabama. Thank you, Jason. Yeah, I mean, they talked about Jalen Crummy. They have talked about Najee Nelson. They have talked about Jaquise Alexander and given him opportunities. Any of those guys in Najee, Jaquise, or Crumby can be involved as a fifth defensive back if you're going to keep Shepard, Price, Young, and Wiz out there. And I think there are downs where that's going to be important, because Oscar Benson, whether you get Julian back or not, I think Oscar Benson has really earned a spot here. And with that said, I don't want Oscar Benson on Jaden Yonke. That's not a life I want to live, especially mm-hmm. time. Like, I get it, man. Jasir and Jabril and Travis Beck were something else. And that was cool watching those guys cover slot receivers. None of these guys are Travis or Jasir or Jabril. They're just not. And that's fine, because you can play nickel. You can play dime. The Bison just haven't done it a ton. And to me, man, you have to stop the run. And if that means that Wiz kind of rolls down into that linebacker level at between 4 and 6 yards off the line of scrimmage, maybe that's the answer. And you just dial up more of your cover one, dial up more of your cover three, and kind of go from there.
Yeah. The way I'm viewing this too, especially defensively, first of all, you're exactly right. You got to stop the run. You don't stop the run against South Dakota State.
It's just over.
It's done. It's playoff football. This is what this is. And so with that, it's just more man. It's like good on good, one-on-one. And I think I don't want to see a ton of one-on-one on the edges, because I do think the Yonke twins and Hines and Wilde are that good where they will exploit you if you do it too much. They just will. I mean, shoot, I've seen the Yonke twins since they were, you know, high school kids running at Howard Wood Dakota Relays. And I made a mental note, like, I hope they go to Fargo. you know, I mean, they're just studs. The Hines kid's a Washington kid, which is, of course, where I played. And then you've got the Wilde kid. He was at Jefferson, and I have buddies coaching there. So very familiar with all of these guys. And I think the only way that you can win this game is you're going to have to guess right a few times, put guys in one-on-one, man-on-man situations, maybe create stunts that are a little bit unique, get hats on the quarterback. And then get hats on, obviously, the runners when they get the ball. Yep. So guys are going to get put in stressful situations, no doubt. And they're going to have to be in order to come out with a win. You can't play conservative in something like this. You just can't. You're going to have to create an appearance of zone, get in a man, and go play football.
Okay, so I've got a question for you, and I'm not – this is going to sound like I'm talking trash about South Dakota State, and I'm not. I've done plenty of that, certainly, in my time here with Bison Report, but I'm not. I'm truly not trying. So, but, like, NDSU kind of – or South Dakota State sort of had, like, dudes like you, dudes like Jerick, dudes like Carlton, dudes like Grant, where it's like their best guys just didn't make the pros this last run. Like, Tucker Kraft is a pro. Cool. Pierre Strong Jr. is a pro. Awesome. But then you go back and look at, like, some of their other, like, stars, Reese Winkleman didn't make it. Okay. Caleb Sanders didn't make it. And that's fine. And I'm not talking junk on those guys, but like those are legitimate FCS stars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they didn't make the pros, and that's fine, but they were still stars. And some of that star power is gone. Kraft is not there. Winkleman is not there. Sanders is not there. And Montana State made them look, you know, made them look beatable, right? And look, you're not going to blow out everyone every game. Even, you know, there's a number of the like undefeated Bison teams that got a scare. You're not just going to beat the absolute hell out of everyone, you know, every single time. But SIU made them look human. Montana State made them look human, even to, you know, a degree. UND scored, right? So, how beatable do you think this team is?
To put it bluntly, not very. I mean, they're beatable. They're, I mean, yeah, no team is like quote unquote truly unbeatable. You know, it's like the Titanic, whatever that's worth, that it was, you know, unsinkable ship, whatever, you know, anything is possible on any given Saturday. Crazy stuff happens. The ball bounces a weird way. Unfortunately, injuries are a part of the game. Something like that could happen that just completely changes the entire part of the game, which is something you never want to see because you want it to happen in a true sense of good on good. I mean, this team is somebody that's not sharpied into a national title, but they are very dang close to it. You know, even if NDSU were to come out and win this game, I would still pick SDSU to win the national championship.
Interesting.
All things equal, of course, you know, they stay healthy and, you know, they bounce back, you know, things can happen throughout the course of the season that are unforeseen, whatever, but all things equal. Yeah. Even if NDSU wins on Saturday, unless they just look like absolute world beaters and it's like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
And you get like a blowout situation, which again, I do not foresee in any way, shape or form, but all that to say, yes, I do think this team is the odds on favorite for a national championship. Does it mean that they will slip up and could they slip up? Yeah, they could. Any team could.
Right. I mean, even if you make them the odds on favorite, they still, if you actually look at the stats, are still probably only like a 33 or 40% favorite, right? Like there's still a 50 or 60% chance that someone else in the country wins the title. I mean, that's kind of how
you still got to put it together. There's still, things happen. I mean, shoot, I remember in 2012, I mean, we had guys on the team that like quit, like right before the playoffs, like they just quit, you know, and they weren't like pivotal parts of the team, but they got snaps and they got reps and they were part of the game plan, just things like that happen. And you just never know. Now I don't think that that's happening in Brookings, you know, but to answer your question, Ross, I don't
happened at NDSU last year.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be shocked if they lost a game. You know, this team definitely looks like they're primed to go undefeated, which I'm sure is a goal that they have. They haven't outwardly spoken about it, but sure. You know, dang well, with that many guys returning, that is what is on their agenda.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough. Win streaks are hard. Shoot. I've done it. It's exhausting to say the least. It's all that gets talked about every week. Once you stack on another one and they're at what? 22, 20, how many, what's their win streak? 22. Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah. Something, yep.
You know, and in recent history, there's been a handful of teams that have been able to eclipse when it was 24. I think the record was 24 when we passed it.
They lost to Iowa. I mean, that's their last loss, was 3-7 at Iowa.
Yeah. So, you know, they're certainly a well-oiled machine, no doubt. It's going to take a funky Saturday with this particular squad to lose and trip up. But that's why you play the game, man.
Yep. Okay. Getting back to it a little bit here.
Which part are you going to go to?
I got it.
All right.
Uniqueness, if you will. I think that was always something we made fun of South Dakota State for a little bit, right? Like the fumble Ruski, completely new Taryn Christian game plan. Trick plays, you know.
Yeah. Copying our trick plays.
Yeah. For a long time, they treated NDSU like their Super Bowl game. I mean, I think it says beat the Bison in their weight room. Like you would just never catch that kind of stuff.
They hung our helmet from their locker room in 2012.
So my point is maybe NDSU finally steps to that challenge and embraces that underdog role, but maybe we see some true creativity. And I'm not being critical here, but do you maybe go 60-40 Cole instead of Cam? is there something else, you know, besides just like a specific jump pass or double reverse or whatever, but do you think that there's maybe a specific kind of unforeseen, because obviously they game plan for everyone, mm-hmm. but do you think there's anything funky that we might see against Brookings, or is it going to be more of we're the Bison, let's do what the Bison do, and if we do that well, we have a chance to win the game?
Well, again, to put it bluntly, like when you look at the tape or you watch this team in Brookings play versus the team in Fargo, they're better. Okay. Man, that's just where it's at. So you got to create the advantage in the tipping scale into your side and your favor in some fashion, whether that's you've game planned for something that you haven't revealed yet, like Taryn Christian 2016, I believe it was.
Yep.
Do you have a different tempo of offense? Maybe that whole look back thing to the sideline was a part of this, and you're building it up to something. Does it mean you bring in number nine and start throwing the rock around a little bit with him? You going from a right-handed quarterback to a left-handed quarterback. The last time he played against South Dakota State and threw a pass, he threw a pick. It was a funky situation, but does he want redemption? And he's just been itching for this opportunity. I don't know. I do think something like that to some capacity is going to have to play a factor in NDSU winning this football game because of, again, what I said at the start of this little tangent, South Dakota State is simply just a better football team.
Yeah.
So you have got to create the advantage to your side in some way, shape, or form.
Sure. Okay. How does NDSU win this game? I'm going to go first here. I think you play good defense. This is going to seem super obvious, but – you know,
they
should have won the game in Fargo last year. NDSU should have won the game in Fargo. In fact, that might have been a blowout. I mean, it was
primed to be. Yeah,
it going was, that way.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Cam throws the bow and arrow, and you know, because I think that would have been 28-7 Bison.
Yeah, it would have been like a three possession game. It was shaping up to be a blowout.
Anyway, so it can be done. Okay. They did hold South Dakota State to 23 points in that game. They did that. They just couldn't score 24, and that was unfortunate. So they can defend South Dakota State with largely the same personnel. I mean, you know, there wasn't any leaguers that, like, Dom Jones is gone, obviously, and Destin's gone. But, like, they've got, you know, Eli back. They didn't have Eli in that game. So Wiz was just sort of getting his feet under him anyway. Mm-hmm. I think you got to play defense. You got to hold South Dakota State in the 20s, even if it's the high 20s.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going to hold South Dakota State into the high 20s, how do you get into the 30s? And I think it's got to be Cam. I've mentioned, you know, we've had some excellent play, you know, from Cam this season, and the backs are fine. But South Dakota State's defense looks at least human, right? You give up 16 and some of us would argue you gave up 23 to Montana State. Some might say.
I watched it. It's FCS never. Obviously, we have an inherent bias, no doubt. So people that are listening is probably going to roll their eyes. I watched the play. FCS calls never get changed when it's not just blatantly obvious. They just never do. That's just FCS. It's not fair.
Right, and especially not there, you know.
And in that situation, was there enough to actually overturn it? Did he?
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I was at home. They probably should have given up 23 points at home. They gave up 21 at home to UND. They gave up 21 to Illinois State, who we don't think is probably very good. They're gettable, right? And you get Stuffel back. Braylon's playing well. Eli Green's playing well. Zach is a guy they can't match up with. Zach's a guy nobody can match up, but like Zach's a guy they can't really match up with. Get Stuffel going. Get Mathis going. Get Eli Green going. Get Cole and Cam going. That's how they beat him. I mean, that's how they should have beat him. It was Cam. Cam was the guy doing it. And then they started to get super conservative, run the ball, protect the lead in the second half, and it didn't work. And I know Winkleman and Sanders aren't there anymore. I get that. I think you probably can run the ball a little bit better than you could when it was Bach behind Winkleman and Sanders and it was just this impenetrable wall. But I think you got to throw the ball to beat the Rabbits. And right now, nobody's throwing it better than Cam. And NDSU's got good talented, experienced receivers, especially if Braylon's kind of cooking again. Get Braylon going. Get Zach going. Get Eli Green going. Get Stuffel going. Maybe work in some Carson Williams. And I think you got a shot. Like, I think you could maybe win a 34-28 game. I think that's the path. Is I really, truly, truly don't believe they'll win 21-17. Whatever the score was when game day came to Brookings and Adam Cofield on 4th-and-1. I don't think they're going to win at that score. I think the Bison have a shot in a shootout.
It's going to have to be a 30-something Bison, 20-something Jacks type game.
I agree.
No doubt to win. When I look at this, if I'm going, okay, NDSU won the game, what did that look like?
Yeah.
There's a few different factors. Number one, you have got, you will not win this football game if you do not win the turnover battle. It will not happen.
True. It's true.
Simply put, again, you got to create the tipping skill in your favor. You got to get the Jack offense off of the field, and you got to create more time of possession and more opportunities to score.
And that goes back to stopping the run, because it's not that Gronowski is a bad player. He's a very good player, but I think he's much more likely to throw a pick than one of their backs is to fumble the ball.
Yeah, he is. 100%. Mark Gronowski is a really, really good football, really good FCS quarterback. He's not an absolute world beater. Like, he's just going to shred us for 350 yards and he can do that any given week. That's just not him. Like, he wins football games. Like, Mark Gronowski is going to go out and win you a football game. That's just what he does. But yeah, that goes back. Yeah. Stopping the run, no doubt. And then you're going to have to hope that Gronowski has an off night. So there's a part of that too, but.
And they're built on running the ball. Gronowski's averaging 170 yards passing. Got three picks. It's not like he turns it over left and right, but I mean, they have already over 2,000 gross yards rushing and about 1,950 net. I mean, they're that good running the ball.
They've got big bullies up front. And they've got dudes that can tote the rock. I mean, I'd be doing the same thing if I had that in my arsenal as an offensive coordinator. You know,
Davis at 6.9 a carry, Amar Johnson at 6.7. I mean, that's the game right there. That is the game. And I would just say that there have been performances by this Bison defense that would make you worried about that. Okay, Trev, I got flack for picking NDSU to lose in Fargo last year. Then I picked him again to lose in the championship game. Caught flack for that. Was right both times. Unfortunately, not tooting my own horn, just sort of going over the sadness.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how many of the 34 seniors are leaving, but it's probably going to be next year before I pick the Bison to beat the Jacks. I got NDSU 27, South Dakota State 31.
So I don't know if I've ever picked South Dakota State.
I don't know if you've ever picked the Bison to lose, if we're being honest.
I don't know if I have. You know what I did? I did in the playoffs against Eastern Washington in the spring season.
Sure.
I did then. Well, if you picked them every time for the last 13 years, you're going to have hit at a pretty high rate.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's an inherent bias having worn the shoulder pads there before. I think it's going to take a lot of wildness for NDSU to somehow win this game. Maybe somebody steps up that just has it and the bright lights are on and this is their time to shine and this is their coming out party. Maybe Cole gets released and it's an unleash the Kraken type moment. Maybe that happens. Maybe Gronowski throws a couple of, you know, untimely picks and it just happens to be an Indiana State 2012 type game. Just crazier things have happened. No doubt. This team is too veteran laced, too disciplined.
34 seniors, man.
Yeah. They are clicking on all cylinders. And I just don't see that happening against an NDSU team when that is their biggest rival. It's who they have been sick of hearing about for a long, long time. And I am not sorry for that, guys. I am not, and I will never apologize for that. And I think they've been waiting for an opportunity like this for a long, long time. And how that's going to play out, I don't know. It will be interesting. But I am going to predict a 37-18 victory for South Dakota State.
Whew. My goodness, Trevor Gebhardt. 37-17.
18.
Don't love that.
37-18. I don't love it either. Don't get me wrong. I don't love it either. But
thanks to Gateway Chevrolet. Thanks to Trevor Gebhardt. And thanks to all of you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody. And go Bison.